As teachers are asked to take on more and more, both in terms of tasks and to-do lists, and also in the social, emotional support of our students, our own mental health is being put on the back burner. Today's guest says it's time to move teacher well-being to the forefront and help teachers be the best, happiest versions of themselves so they can be the best, happiest teachers they can be for their kids. Welcome to Side Hustle Teachers, where we believe that being a teacher doesn't mean you have to be broke or burnt out. Our mission is to help teachers like you build successful businesses so you can find financial freedom, pursue your passions, and discover the many options that exist for you beyond the classroom walls. Well, hello, it is Stacy, and you are here with Side Hustle Teachers. I'm so excited that you're here today because my guest, Dana Thomas of Happy Teacher Revolution, is talking about something that is so important to every single teacher, not just listening to this podcast, but on the planet. So if you know of a fellow teacher that could benefit from Dana's message, I ask that you please share this episode with them because there's so much to it, and teacher well-being and mental health is such an overlooked subject that we need to start getting the word out. Now, I'm going to keep this intro super short because today's episode is already longer than usual because Dana and I just kept talking because there's so much to say. I'm sure she'll be back on the podcast again as a guest another time, but let me just tell you a little bit about the Happy Teacher Revolution before we get started. So I stumbled upon Dana's site by accident. And I was struck by the message of what she is sharing with teachers about taking care of yourself and, you know, not pouring from an empty cup. And we get into a great analogy that she has for this a little bit further into the episode. But her entire company is built around the idea of supporting teacher mental health. And as someone who has struggled with mental health, I suffer from anxiety myself, I completely appreciate and understand the point of view that she's coming from. And we even talk about the fact that teachers, just by nature of our character and our just personalities, tend to adopt some of these issues just by nature of our job, even if it's not necessarily a genetic trait or something that we would have struggled with normally. But, you know, there's something called compassion fatigue that is brought up later in the episode as well that a lot of teachers struggle with because we care so much. So I'm not going to take up any more time talking. I'm going to let Dana explain what she does and all the good that she's working to provide to our teachers. So let's jump in with Dana Thomas of Happy Teacher Revolution. Dana, thanks so much for being here today.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, me too. I was so glad we could connect before. And then, you know, after we talked, I just knew that I had to have you on the show. So before we jump in, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do and your sort of journey to get there?
Sure. My name is Dana Thomas, pronounced like Dana Banana. I think I really gravitate to the mnemonic devices because I have a background in early childhood education. So that's why I like the rhyming words. But I'm also the founder of Happy Teacher Revolution. We're a Baltimore-born international movement with a mission to organize and conduct support groups for educators in the field of mental health and wellness to increase teacher happiness, retention, and professional sustainability. And my journey with Happy Teacher Revolution started before I was a teacher, when I was still a student, because when I was in high school and college, I suffered from crippling anxiety and depression and panic attacks, and I represented the 1 in 5 Americans who grapples with a mental illness, the 1 in 5 college students who's contemplated suicide, and the statistic that the onset of mental illness most frequently occurs between ages of 17 and 24, and that's when I was affected. And honestly, my teachers, my educators, were my emotional first responders. They recognized the subtle changes in behavior as warning signs and provided me with medical information to seek treatment and to get help, and honestly provided differentiation and accommodation for me when I was in crisis, and truly saved my life. Like, I wouldn't be here talking to you today if it weren't for my educators. And so they're the reason I became a teacher myself. And I served as a Baltimore City public school teacher for 7 years. And I served as a national spokesperson for NAMI Maryland, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, as well as the Music for Mental Health campaign, because that was part of my healing journey, was speaking out about mental health awareness, mental health advocacy. And because I was so outspoken about a topic that is typically wrapped in stigma and shame and secrecy, which is even stronger in certain cultures and communities and genders and professions like teaching. Mm-hmm. I was so public about my own journey that I had friends and colleagues come out to me about things that they were struggling with that they had never really shared with someone before. The stress and anxiety as it relates to the profession. It was the teacher down the hall, the teacher next to me in PD or across the lunch table or sitting beside me in my grad school classes at Hopkins. I truly realized that teachers create the opportunity to come together, to feel less alone. I wanted to normalize self-care as professional development. I wanted to celebrate teachers who set and maintain boundaries instead of celebrating the teachers who come to work with the flu and stay until 9 o'clock at night. I wanted to honestly revolutionize how we support each other, how we support teachers as a best practice to support the kids in our classroom.
Yeah. And I really, I discovered your website. I'm not really sure how, but I stumbled upon it, and a lot of those things that you're saying really resonate with me, because, I myself have anxiety, and I know that, certain aspects of teaching definitely bring it out. Like we were just talking about lunch duty, and and I actually discovered this year that when I mentioned that to my bosses, they were actually very responsive. They were very understanding and took that into account. But the first thing you have to do is you have to acknowledge that this is something that you're dealing with, and then you have to let people in. Mm-hmm. So, that's so interesting about your journey, is that the first step is that you really just opened up and said, this is something that's going on with me. And what were you looking for when you started talking about this publicly? Was it for yourself, or was it to help others, or was it a combination of both?
I think it was both, absolutely. I mean, I started, honestly, NAMI was really transformational for me, because it was this moment where going to their fundraiser walk. In May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so that was like the first time I publicly went to a space and stood alongside and amongst people who understand, who get it, or have a family member that they love who is suffering from anxiety or depression. And, I will never forget that moment of showing up and being proud of what I've been through, to be able to come out of it to help others, to know what that darkness feels like, but then to find the light and to use what I've been through as a strength rather than thinking of myself as a victim of this awful thing I had no choice over. So in my vision with Happy Teacher Revolution, or honestly with all mental health advocacy work, it's when we see the pink ribbon for breast cancer awareness on a Wheaties box, or when we see professional athletes wearing pink sneakers for breast cancer awareness, and for it to something to be talked about and not to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law just suffered from stage 4 breast cancer, and she's doing great, but that was such a really hard journey for her and for our family. And it's something but we're not ashamed of. Cancer sucks. We wore our pink t-shirts for her, and we were all about it. And I just don't know why mental illness has this stigma where it needs to be something that we talk about, that we share. And so that lime green ribbon, if you ever see a lime green ribbon that represents mental health advocacy, and lime green and green has been a a huge part of Happy Teach Revolution and sort of like visually what we represent is that teacher mental health matters. Mm-hmm. We have a little green apple that is that official color of mental health awareness. And I think, you know, for me, it was really empowering also to just be able to name it, for it to be something that like I went through, and not that I'm ashamed of it, but to be like, hey, this is something that I experienced. I did not choose for there to be a chemical imbalance in my brain. But I did choose to get help. I did choose to speak up. And I realized like it does, especially, you know, when I first started Happy Teacher Revolution in the 2014-2015 school year, like it was not talked about. It still isn't talked about like to the level that it should be, but you know, it was something that like would clear a room. Like people would literally say, this sounds depressing. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess it is, because we are talking about depression. But it's like, you know, if there is one person who then realizes like, oh, maybe I need to make an appointment to see a therapist or a counselor. Like if there's one person who starts making a change in their own life and to get help and to seek treatment, then it's totally worth it. Like, I don't care if it clears a room if somebody ends up getting help.
Yeah. And I think teachers just naturally, as such a caring profession, like we really just pour so much of ourselves into our classrooms and our students and what we do every day. Do you think that opens us up even more to a predisposition to feeling these things, depression or anxiety or both, and in general?
Yeah. So everything that I'm about to say, I just want to make sure that everyone knows I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed mental health professional. I'm not a licensed clinician. My lawyers are going to be happy that I say this. If you're listening, you're welcome. So I'm not a licensed mental health professional, but I can give some statistics or data around some of those things that you mentioned. So according to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, teachers are 15% more likely than other professions to commit suicide. And so, you know, this is something that I believe that in a caregiver type capacity, not just teachers, but I think social workers, school psychologists, nurses, doctors, animal care professionals, anybody who's in a relationship intense profession, mm-hmm. working, who's really like flexing their empathy muscle all of the time, and is really, you know, potentially working with individuals who've experienced trauma firsthand. So talking about vicarious trauma or secondhand trauma, working with individuals who experience trauma on a regular basis or who have experienced trauma, those caregivers can take on those effects, even though they did not experience it firsthand. So that's something to think about as well. There's caregiver burnout, moral distress, compassion fatigue, all of these things. I think, you know, teachers, like we are caregivers. We are the individuals who are so willing to do things for others, so willing to sacrifice so much. And so it has to be a constant reminder to ourselves to take care of ourselves first. I often use the oxygen mask analogy on an airplane, that like when in the event of a change in pressure from district officials, administration, colleagues, community, parents, kids, like an oxygen mask may drop down from the ceiling and you have to put it on yourself first before assisting children and those around you. And I've used that analogy so much. And honestly, it was just a couple days ago when I was working on my book that I realized that it needs to be less of this oxygen mask analogy of like in times of emergency, it might drop down. It needs to be more like a scuba diver. Like it needs to be this oxygen mask that you have on you all of the time to help you breathe, because it can't just be in the times of emergency. Because if you just wait till the times of emergency for the self-care, it's like it needs to be long-term. It needs to be happening all the time. It needs to be a habitual, regular practice that even when it's not an emergency situation, you're still taking care of yourself, because that way your cup can be a little more filled in the event that there is something that goes on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is so important to take care of yourself, but how do you find, because I know a lot of the teachers that I know they'll stay late. They'll do extra things. They'll go above and beyond. Heaven knows we all spend gobs of money in our classroom. Yeah. That are all, you know, and that pushed more of a financial stress on our family because we're not spending it on ourselves. We're spending it for our profession, which sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. So how do you get teachers to take on more of a proactive role in that sort of self-care?
Yeah, so it's really tough because our entire education system has been built on the backs of teachers who are predominantly women, mm-hmm. who are honestly self-sacrificing. They're having a hard time saying no. They're doing everything they can for the kids, for the kids, for the kids. So until we start pushing back and saying no, then it's going to keep going on like that. Then the higher ups and the higher ups and the higher ups are still going to think that it's totally okay. But if a principal comes to their boss and says, hey, listen, my teachers, they've really started to put these boundaries and practicing their own self-care as professional development. We're going to need to rethink and reframe how we structure this school day or what we're asking of them outside of contractual work hours or X, Y, and Z. But it's like, until we collectively organize and it's not just this one-off, because it can be really hard to be, especially that first person in your building that's starting to set the boundaries and say no and not spend money and not show up and do the extra things. Like, then you have this target on your back and it's like, it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm all alone in this. And here's the thing is, teachers, we do it to each other. Like, it's not just our boss. Like, we do it to each other. Like, I used to stay at work until 9 p.m. at night. I would close out the building like after the cleaning folks and custodial crew left. You know what I mean? Like, I was there so late. And so I switched schools. I started, you know, and when I changed schools in Baltimore City in the district, like, I started changing some of my behaviors and patterns, and I left after the bell rang. Like, I would 30 minutes max, but like, I left. And then it started being a thing that other teachers would say to me, like, oh, well, you know, Miss Thomas, she'll be out of here right after the kids leave. And it was never my principal who, because I was turning things in. Like, there was nothing my principal, I was doing the grading. I was being really effective and efficient during my planning time, or coming in like in the morning when people are less likely to talk to me because they were doing their own thing. So mm-hmm. I stayed after. I mean, people would come in my room and chit chat, and I would stay late, but I felt like I wasn't really getting that much done. And so, and then during my planning time, I started setting firmer boundaries. So during my planning time, I used to have my door open, come in whenever, come chit chat, da da da. And then I started saying, I would love to make an appointment with you if you would like to meet with me during my planning time. But if we didn't have an appointment, like, sorry, I'm unavailable. And I would lock myself in my closet in my classroom. I kid you not. I would turn the lights off. I'd lock myself in the closet so I could get it done. I'm not going to swear. So I could get it done. So, you know, and it made people mad when I started doing that, when I wasn't totally available. Like, yes, there was pushback. When you take care of yourself, there will be pushback. It will make people very unhappy. But who cares? Because you need to make yourself happy. And the same people that are getting bent out of shape because you're setting boundaries are the same people who took advantage of your lack of boundaries to begin with. Yeah. So I'm just going to end with that.
Mic drop. Okay. So I admit I have been in that position as well, and it scared the heck out of me to set those boundaries. But a couple of years ago, when you know, my daughter started getting older and started getting involved in more activities, and I launched Side Hustle Teachers, and you know, I was actually starting to take on things outside that were just for me and not for my classroom, I emailed the assistant superintendent and said, I'm sorry, I can't be on this committee this year because I need to cut back on my commitments. And you know what he said? Thanks for letting me know. And that's about it. You know, so I think a lot of times we put this pressure on ourselves. And like you said, other teachers as well do the same thing, that we've all bought into this teacher as martyr sort of scenario, mm-hmm. that we don't have to. You know, we can say, I'm done. You know, I leave every day at 3:20 because I have to pick up my daughter. And nobody gives me any hard time about that because they know I have to go pick up my daughter. But if I were leaving at 3:20 just to leave at 3:20, there would be people who would be raising their eyebrows and saying, must be nice to leave early without having to stay and do all sorts of planning. So you do have to set those boundaries, and you have to be willing to take on at least a couple of raised eyebrows or people who, quite frankly, are jealous.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, and honestly, you know, maybe those same people who are like talking smack or raising their eyebrows or whatever, it's like, maybe they're the ones who need to see you doing this more than anybody, because they need to start doing it themselves. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's part of it too, is like, how are we modeling to other colleagues and to our students what social emotional learning and self-care looks like? Because mm-hmm. that's how we learn, is from watching. And that's how teachers best learn also, is from professional development of other teachers. So imagine having educators in your building who are setting and maintaining those boundaries and taking care of themselves, how they're modeling that to other teachers. And like, chances are, I mean, I would bet that that teacher who goes and leaves, like when the bell rings, to go take care of themselves and come back to work the next day, probably comes back a little more refreshed, a little happier, maybe a little more patience in working with the unexpected, unpredictable situations that school buildings bring every single day with those fun kiddos. You know what I mean? Like every day I would go into work thinking like, nothing's going to surprise me today. And then the happiest thing will happen. And if I didn't get a full night's rest, if I didn't have a nutritious breakfast, if I didn't do my, you know, my, what I needed to do for, to take care of Dana, I wasn't going to be the best version of Miss Thomas for my kids or for my colleagues.
Yeah.
Or for the parents. You know what I mean? Like nobody wants, you know, a unhappy, stressed out, like curmudgeon-y teacher. You know, nobody wants to learn from somebody like that. Nobody wants to work with somebody like that. Nobody wants to drop their kid off to a classroom with a teacher like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I think that is really what this boils down to, is like, how do we support teacher happiness and professional sustainability? And if you're not happy, and if this job makes you miserable, and if you, then maybe it's not right anymore. You know what I mean? Like we should feel allowed like to leave. We should feel allowed like we have permission to transition out of the classroom if it's not right for us. But I believe there are so many incredible teachers who are leaving because they're not feeling supported, and they're not feeling this type of like camaraderie and this social emotional learning, this like relationship skills, the getting along together skills with colleagues. And I think that's where we're really missing the mark.
Yeah, it's so hard to feel like a complete person when you're a teacher, because you feel like you're just a teacher. Like you are, it's not just a career, it's who you are, and you are on duty, especially nowadays with the internet. This was not like this when we were growing up, where, you know, I couldn't email teachers in the middle of the night, whereas I get emails at 11, 12 o'clock at night saying, I need help with this, I couldn't do this, or saying, you know, I'm not going to be there tomorrow, can you send me work? Well, it's already tomorrow because I'm not reading your email until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, this sort of 24-hour place that we're in. And then on top of that, we still have this built-in teacher martyr mindset where we have to do everything, because if we don't do it, then nobody will do it and the kids will suffer. And, you know, it's really tough. So how do you help people sort of take that first step?
So I think, you know, we've been talking a lot about boundaries, but I think like that's really huge. It's like in a professional workplace, right? There's like a 24-hour policy in response to an email. So it's like, if that's the policy, then that's the policy for student emails. That's the policy for parent emails. That's the policy for whatever. It's like maybe in your response line, in your signature line, it's like, please be advised that I will respond to your email within 24 hours, but the response will not be immediate. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I think what ends up happening is like this new generation of children who's coming through and then going to college and graduating, it's like in the workplace, it's, they're right. There's books all over the place about like how to be, you know, how to have employees who have this like immediate response type of thing. Like, because it's a huge problem in the workplace now, because that's what kids think, that it could just be automatic. They turn in an assignment and they're like, when is it graded yet? And it's like, you just gave it to me. Like, what do you mean? And so I think like, it's up to us to not give into that, to like keep maintaining, be like, you're going to have to learn in the real world that when you send an email, like it's not going to be an automatic response. Or when you have a job, when you have a boss, or when you do this, like it's not going to be immediate. And that people, when people send you an email, like, because you won't be able to do it immediately. And so it's sort of like, I think that's what's really huge. It's like, for me, I deleted my work email off my phone. I would do all my work emails like at work, but then when I left, it was like, I'll get to it the next day. And like, that's the way it's going to be. And I think in a lot of ways, like people end up respecting you more when you have these boundaries, because then they'll start following them. And then it's like for you, you know what I mean? And so I think that's one thing. I think for me, I had a wellness accountability partner. So I had a friend who would like, if I wasn't leaving, like she would always walk by my door on the way out. She's like, Thomas, let's go, like, time to go. So like having somebody to hold you accountable and for you to do the same with them can be really helpful. They would check my bag to see, make sure I wasn't bringing like the work home, like, you know, like a security check, like a reverse security check. Like, no, you're going to have to put that back, you know, like the airport, you know what I mean? So that was something. Another thing I would do, having some kind of like physical way to code switch. So like when a doctor, for example, hangs up their white coat at the end of the day, they're sort of like switching from like, okay, I'm hanging up my white coat and now I'm like going to be a person now. Same thing with teachers. Like I would have my like teacher lanyard that I would hang up. I would lock my door. I would hang it up. And like, that was my like transitioning from Miss Thomas to Dana. And like, I would come home and I would immediately shower because kindergartners pick their nose a lot and there's a lot of germs. And I would immediately shower and change clothes sort of to be like, okay, like now it's like me time. And I think that's what is just really important is thinking about like rest is professional development. Self-care is professional development. All of these things that you do to take care of yourself is actually taking care of the students in your classroom. Like you are serving your students when you serve yourself. And so I think it also is a mindset shift in knowing that like spending time with family, spending time doing things that fill you up, making a date with a friend. I would often set wellness appointments immediately after work so that I had to leave. So I would have like my chiropractor appointment, or if I was seeing an acupuncturist, or if it was like a yoga appointment, or I would put an appointment in my phone to like go read a book. And so then if people are like, oh, can you stay after Wednesday? I'm like, oh man, I have an appointment after Tuesday. They don't have to know what the appointment is. You know what I mean? Like you made an appointment with yourself. So I think that could be helpful too.
Yeah. And how do you feel about mental health days?
Oh, they're absolutely necessary and essential.
Thank you.
There were times when I didn't take a mental health day and I went to work anyway, like I would need to take 2 days later. Like it would compound, like it would blow up in my face if I didn't take a mental health day when I needed to.
Yeah. And I think that's something, you know, teachers get a lot of sick days, generally speaking, depending on, you know, I know different systems are different, but teachers do get a fair amount of sick days because let's be honest, we get sick a lot because we're around germy children. And, you know, so that's only fair, but that's, you know, our physical well-being is only one part of our health. You know, there is a legitimate concern when it comes to teacher mental health. Like that statistic you said about 15% more likely to commit suicide is, mm-hmm. that's staggering to me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, teachers who are considered to be such, you know, generally we're seen to be very upbeat, happy people, that we generally enjoy our jobs, but that there's obviously something amiss there. That we're not taking care of issues before they become big problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really a shame when if an educator needs a mental health day for it not to be taken seriously as if they had the flu or as if they had, you know, strep throat or something like that, because I think that just speaks to our overall culture of not viewing mental illness as a real illness. Mm-hmm. For me, it's something that I just recently have been like sort of like willing to open up about. But my last year in the classroom, in my seventh year, my mental health was seriously affected. And it was sort of that long-term effect of burnout, compassion fatigue specifically, and that like inability to refuel and regenerate. And, I ended up going on FMLA intermittently for my mental illness, for anxiety. My psychiatrist described it as like conditional depression or anxiety. So it was like very much based on the workplace. Like I was like on the weekends or like when I was working on Happy Teacher Revolution, like in evenings or whatever, like I was the fullest version of myself. I was so happy, so much joy. Like I loved what I was doing. I loved working with other teachers. I loved talking about teacher mental health. And then I would drive to work the next morning and I would sit in my car. I would be crying the whole way there and I would just be stalling in the staff parking lot, like trying not to go in. And then it was like everything I could do to walk in the building that day. And then who knows what would happen. I mean, in that school year, my class size doubled. The amount of like high needs special education students in my class size doubled. They took an adult out of my room. My paraprofessional was hit by a car. All of these things happen. And so I went to my psychiatrist. I applied for intermittent FMLA. And so it was sort of like as needed, if you need to use your sick days for mental health, like this is the protocol and the way to go about it. And then I got a target on my back, which is not legal, that my principal then, you know, he would write me up for all kinds of things. He told me that I was mentally sick and should seriously consider resigning. And I said, that's up to my doctor to decide. It was a whole mess. But in the end, like it was just a shame that like I was using the sick days that I had actually earned. Like they're my sick days if I needed to use them for mental health. And it's, there still was pushback. And I tell you, I left the system with 40 plus sick days, never used. Like I had used more sick days in my last year of teaching than all 7 years combined, because I wasn't taking those mental health days when I needed to for those first 6 years. And then the graph went like this, like it compounded. And so I think that's what's really important to think about yourself professionally, mm-hmm. sustainability of like, take the days when you need to, because you might be like 7 years later using all of them. And there's still 40 days that were left unused. So use your sick days. It's not a badge of honor. Nobody gave me a certificate when I left and they're like, congratulations, I'm not using 40 days. Like I didn't get a tiara. I didn't get anything. I didn't get a pat on the back. I didn't get, you know. So I think that's what's really important is like, if you have sick days, use them.
Yeah. When you start thinking about, you know, even when people incentivize being one of those hard workers, one of those teachers who goes to school, even though they have the flu, which, by the way, do not be that person, because one of those teachers actually gave me pneumonia a couple of years ago because she went to school when she should have stayed home. So don't be that person anyway, for the health of your fellow teachers. But, you know, it's incentivized. And it's almost to a point where we've created a culture for ourselves as teachers where it's expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I really want to do ultimately with Happy Teacher Revolution is provide an opportunity for teachers to pour back into themselves, pour back into the community through these community-led support groups around mental health and wellness, and for it to be something where teachers are actually earning extra income for holding these spaces for themselves and for each other. Because how awesome would that be? You know what I mean? To be able to have a side hustle as an educator where you are pouring into yourself and community. So it's not just self-care, but community care for one another in a way that is like restoring this space and the community and like social emotional learning of ourselves and for one another. Because unfortunately our teachers are on the cover of Time magazine for selling their blood plasma because they're not earning a living wage. And so to me it's like insulting, like $100, like are you serious? Like just $100? Because it's like our teachers need an opportunity for extra income. They need income to support their wellness. And so like, that's what I want Happy Teacher Revolution to ultimately be, is like this lifestyle organization that is compensating teachers the way that they deserve to be compensated, to be entrepreneurs, to be leaders. And so that way, if they have extra money to pour back into themselves, to get a massage or a facial or go on a cool vacation with their family or go to an acupuncturist regularly or get that gym membership or see a nutritionist or whatever the case may be, then I hope that that makes them stay in the classroom for longer. You know, I hope that that's something that like incentivizes them to take care of themselves so that they can still be that leader in their classroom and still work with kids, because there's so many great people leaving the classroom to go do other things or to go into these higher administrative positions. And it means that they're not with kids anymore. And we need great teachers with the kiddos, you know, like that's what we need. And so so that's really what I'm trying to do with Happy Teacher Revolution, is to provide like these leadership opportunities for awesome teachers to help each other, but more importantly to help themselves.
Yeah. And that's why I was so happy to stumble upon your website, because that's one of the things, and I think I told you the first time we talked, you know, a month or so ago, that when I first started my first business, it was because I wanted out. I was done. I was burnt out. I was so cynical and I had lost all faith in the teaching profession and I was done. And it was through finding something else completely unrelated to education that I could give myself to and spend my time on and feel appreciated for and make some money at, that I was able to find that joy of teaching again. And you know, that's why I'm going into my eighth year after I started my business now, that I have no intention of leaving the classroom anytime soon. Would I like to retire a little bit before 37 and a half years? Probably, but that's a really freaking long time. But, you know, I'm not planning on leaving the classroom anytime soon because I found an outlet for myself that allows me to be me in another way, you know, and that has made all the difference for me. And that's where Side Hustle Teachers came from. And when we talked the last time, I really felt like we had the same sort of ideas on that. So I would love to know a little bit about, how did you take this idea of supporting teachers' mental health and turn it into a functioning business?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because at first, I mean, that wasn't my intention at all. Like, I wanted this to just be like sort of like AA, but for teachers, except you could drink afterwards. Like, that's what I was like, I want something that's like AA, but like, I'm allowed to have a glass of wine, but you know, and it's not like it costs money to learn how to start an AA meeting or to go to an AA meeting. It's sort of like this free community space. And that's something I felt, and I still do feel very, passionate about, and it's very important to me, is that Happy Teacher Revolution meetings are always free to attend. I never want a teacher to have to pay to go to a meeting or to access the space. Like, access is very, very important to me. And so at first I was like, okay, I'm going to start these support group meetings. Like, let me just put the like documents online. It'll be totally free. People can just download, just do their thing, then start them and go for it. And then one meeting that I was holding at my school, I was in another meeting with a facilitator that was not respecting boundaries and time and limits. And that meeting went like an hour and a half over or something crazy like that. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been in those meetings? Like, sometimes IEP meetings will go like super long. So anyway, I'm in somebody else's session. I thought, oh, well, they have all this stuff, you know, it's like they, you know, my teacher, my participants, like, I've been to these meetings before, they can just go and do it themselves. And everyone sat in that circle and they're like, well, we haven't been trained to do this. We don't know how to do this. For me, I'm thinking it's simple enough that anybody, you know, just start. But they said, we haven't been trained. So I said, okay, well, I'll come up with a training then. And ultimately, I think it ended up being extremely valuable to have a training, a certification process, because there are a lot of things that could potentially come up in a Happy Teacher Revolution meeting. There's a lot of things potentially when you're introducing this space in a community to administrators, there might be some fear or pushback if you're in a toxic work environment, any number of things. And so, well, maybe it's like I learned as I went along, like, okay, well, maybe it really is in fact valuable to have a certification process and a training. And so that's how it started. It was an online training. And I charged people to join a Zoom call once a month over the course of 6 months, because that's what was doable for me, because I was teaching full time. You know, it was like this, it was a side hustle. And so I charged people to join that very first cohort, and we had 13 different states represented in that first cohort. And because of the just amazingness of modern technology and the World Wide Web, it was like, all right, well, I'm going to talk on this video screen and I'll teach you how to do it. And so since then we've graduated five, we're enrolling for our fifth cohort now, and we're in 23 different states and we're global. And so then after being in the classroom for 7 years, I have to tell you, like, I was burnt out. Like, I was experiencing burnout as I was writing about it and thinking about it. And I realized that I cared about this project so much. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And ultimately, like, I realized I could help so many more students by helping their teachers. And so I left after 7 years and made the leap. And that was really terrifying to go into this full time, because it's not like there were any guarantees. I mean, there still aren't. It's not like I signed a contract for myself for anything. You know, I just, right. Like, I walked away from an amazing, like, tenured position and great healthcare and benefits and all the things, because I wanted to invest in myself and invest in this. And I wanted, and by invest, I mean, not only financially, like, I had been putting money saving. So that's really important too, is like financial wellness for teachers. Thinking about, you know, the, that emergency fund of the Go F Yourself Fund, is how I like to think about it. If you need to tell a spouse to go F yourself, a boss to go F yourself, or at a situation to go F themselves, like, you need to have that emergency fund for yourself. So I think there's a lot of teachers who are suffering in very toxic situations because they don't have that, like, that emergency fund or that, like, financial stability to go and maybe change schools or maybe change districts if there is a pay difference there, or if they need to go be independent and do their own thing if they're in a bad relationship. So anyway, after 7 years, I left and I ended up joining the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab. So that was really huge because Hopkins was an accelerator program supporting different social impact ventures, and Happy Teacher Revolution was one of them. So we ended up being the winners of the Hopkins Social Innovation Lab, which was really exciting. So we got some money from Hopkins. Yay, it was amazing. But yeah, I think, you know, it was something that I had to have the confidence to invest. That's the first step, and it still is, right? It's like believing in myself, believing in what my ideas have value and worth, and charging what I believe, like, it is worth, and having that value in yourself. And I think there's so many teachers doing incredible things, entrepreneurial things, that are so innovative and so creative that, like, you need to monetize that. And there's nothing to be ashamed of in monetizing that too. Like, there's nothing, like, we kind of sort of come from this mindset of beg, borrow, steal. And, like, the thing is like, you know, like, know your worth and charge that much because it is valuable, and you do have value, and your thoughts and ideas do have value. Because I think that's what's really so depressing about the system is that, like, we've created the freedom and creativity of teachers is stagnant because we're, like, given this curriculum and this script to read from, like, we're robots. And it's like, no, like, we are amazing, innovative, creative people. And I think that there's a huge potential to foster that entrepreneurship in teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked a lot to my groups about the fact that teachers make fantastic entrepreneurs because of the skills that we just innately possess. And not the least of which is the fact that we are lifelong learners, that even if we don't have a skill currently, we can learn it because that's who we are and we're awesome. So, you know, I know a lot of people get scared when they think about, the E word, becoming an entrepreneur. And it sounds scary and big, but you can take baby steps into it. You don't have to, you know, go and quit your job and start a business on this. You know, you can just take baby steps, tell a friend, hey, I made this hat, I crocheted it, do you want to buy it? Like, it can be that simple and that small to start out with. But yeah, but it's so important to see the value in what you're doing, and not just your skills as a teacher, but your skills outside the classroom, your interpersonal skills, your organizational skills. I mean, God knows teachers are super crazy organized to keep track of all those kids and everything they're doing. And, you know, notes about this one can't be released to this parent only on Thursdays on months that start with tea. I mean, it's like all these weird things that we have to keep in our heads, and to then say, I can't do that because I'm just a teacher, is something that really, it breaks my heart to hear that.
Yeah, because teachers are, like, the most incredible, fun, party animal, like, amazing, awkward, goofy people who, like, are the original influencers, you know what I mean? Like, the OG influencers. And and I think about, you know, like, just all the incredible teachers in my life and how much of a difference they made in my life. And it's like, they don't have any followers. They're not, like, Insta famous, you know what I mean? Like, Miss Balderson, I don't think even has an Instagram, you know what I mean? Like, so I think the other part too, you know, is just very much like along the lines you're saying, it's like, if you're an educator, if you're listening to this right now and you're an educator and you have an idea, I think the next thing to know is first pat yourself on the back for having the intuition and awareness and creativity to come up with that idea. But the next step would be sort of like your market research, customer discovery, or stakeholder discovery interviews. And what I mean by that is, like, sitting down with people and asking them a series of questions to see if, like, there, if you have correctly identified some tension points, and also if there are things that come up that you might not have considered or thought about that can add value or maybe spark another the component of your idea. And so what I mean by that is, for example, I'm a huge podcast freak, and which is why I am so excited to be on this podcast, because there's so much learning that happens, like, just through listening. And one of my very favorite ones is called How I Built This. It's about entrepreneurs, change makers, thought leaders who have created an idea and created something amazing. And one of which is the founder of Away, which is a suitcase company. And so they're came up with this concept of a suitcase, and I sat down with people who travel and asked some questions. Like, so what are some things that, you know, happen when you're traveling? What are some things that are frustrating when you're traveling? X, Y, and Z. And one of the things that came up in these interviews was this idea that you, when you're traveling, you can never charge your phone. Like, my phone's always dying. I'm always like running out of phone, you know, when I'm taking trips. And who would think that that would even impact somebody who's designing a suitcase? Well, guess what? They designed a suitcase that can charge your phone, because I heard so many different people. And so it's like, there's different things to think about when it comes to design. And this is also called, this concept is human-centered design. So like, how do we design solutions with the humans in mind? And so for Happy Teacher Revolution, what that meant for me was sitting down with teachers and principals and district leaders and new teachers and veteran teachers, teachers who left, teachers who are about to start, you know, all of these different educators, to think about like, how can I create the time and space for teachers to heal, deal, and be real about the social, emotional, and intellectual demands they face on the job? And like, one of the things that I learned through this process is that professional development sucks. Like, there's been so much PD I've sat in that is so awful, so like soul sucking, no differentiation, no accommodation. Like, there, and I also learned that professional development in the US is a $2.8 billion industry or more, that we're spending between $8,000 to $12,000 per teacher on PD, but less than 29% of teachers actually find it useful. So I'm like, oh my gosh, well, what a huge market opportunity to create PD that doesn't suck and PD that supports teachers in taking care of themselves, you know? And so I think, you know, my first piece of advice, if there are entrepreneurs listening or hopeful entrepreneurs listening, is that if you have an idea, or if you don't even have an idea yet, just to sit down and start asking these questions and doing some really intentional, thoughtful listening of who, of people who are your potential users or customers or individuals who could benefit from your potential product.
Yep, absolutely. And there's, you know, I always recommend people, if they are starting with an idea and they're not sure where to take it, is they read Pat Flynn's book, Will It Fly? We love that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I actually started the Business Prep Academy, because there were a business prep program, because there were so many teachers in my group that were like, well, I think I want to do this, but they're just scared to take that first step because they're lacking that clarity of exactly what they want to do and the confidence to move forward with the idea. Mm-hmm. So there are resources out there for people who are looking to take that first step and are feeling a little bit lost, mm-hmm. you know? So, and one of them is like $8.99 on Amazon. So,
nice.
So, okay. So Dana, how does your program work? Like, once it's somebody is trained and they're running a group, how does that work in a school or community?
Yeah, sure. So once individuals have completed the certification and become a revolutionary, that's who we call the folks who initiate and lead Happy Teacher Revolution meetings. They're called revolutionaries. So once individuals have completed the certification process, which can either happen online or in person. So we offer our online training, which is enrolling now. We're having our first class October 23rd, 2019. But we enroll multiple times during the school year. And we also do the in-person professional development. So if there are individual schools or a cluster of schools or a school district or a charter school network or a teacher prep program, we'll have an in-person professional development. So over the course of 2 days, we'll condense that 6 months of online training into 2 days in person. And so once individuals have completed that certification process, and they can then lead Happy Teacher Revolution meetings in their own community. So this can be a part of a team meeting. This can be a staff meeting. This can be a PLC. This can be a new teacher, like mentorship group or community. It can be, we've worked with groups of teachers who are on like professional improvement plans or who, you know, might be considering leaving, for those cohorts to come together. We have used Happy Teacher Revolution in a number of like different capacities depending on the unique school community need. And that's something that like I very much recognize, is that like I'm not an expert in every single person's community or school or like where they're working. Like, and I think what I really have found value in is encouraging and equipping leaders within a community to lead these spaces, to use the tool of Happy Teacher Revolution and adapt it mm-hmm. and use it to however they think they can best be used for where they are. And so that's something that's really important to me, is that this is a tool that is adaptable based on the community and the needs of that specific community. So once you've been trained and you are then able to hold Happy Teacher Revolution meetings, we offer online support as you move forward with this journey, with this movement. So what I mean by that is that we have a Happy Teacher Revolution app available through Mighty Networks on iOS and Android, and we have a web-based platform, but basically it's like a social network for teachers to connect around self-care and wellness, to share articles and resources and videos and mindfulness tips and guided meditations and mini courses on trauma-informed and social-emotional learning and culturally responsive teaching, like all of those things as it relates to self-care and wellness. Because I wanted a space that like wasn't Facebook, because Facebook sucks. I'll say it. Okay. I think Facebook sucks. I'm just in a bad mood. I'll just like read, I don't know why, I'll just read comment sections on some things and I'll just like go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know.
Sad. And so anyway, so it's like a social network platform that's not Facebook, that's for teachers who are involved in Happy Teacher Revolution. And so through that space, we can not only communicate with each other, but like come up with ideas and use resources to spruce up the meetings and keep it interesting. And also use, you know, current and ongoing research that's coming out about the brain, about adverse childhood experiences, about, you know, the crisis that we are honestly in education, with a number of teachers leaving, the rate of turnover that's happening. And, you know, just last year, 2018, more teachers left than any year on record, according to the U.S. Department of Labor statistics. There's a report that just came out this past week that 50% of teachers currently surveyed are thinking about leaving.
I saw that. That is scary.
Yeah. I was hoping I would be able to talk about that. And it's just like crazy, because, you know, 22% of teachers are considering leaving because of the pay. And because of the low salary. But right behind that number, 19% are considering leaving because of burnout, because mm-hmm. of stress, because of overwhelm. And so this is something that we need to keep talking about and think about, like, systemically how we can start making real change. And I'm hoping to do that through Happy Teacher Revolution.
Yeah. And I love that, because it's true. There are so many people, you get up to a point, you know, I found a way to get through it and to, you know, basically reinvigorate my teaching career by finding something else that I could do. But there are so many people that just keep pushing through that burnout until they can't push through anymore. And then they have no choice but to leave, because they literally have exhausted themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some of them are teachers that are great with kids, and, yeah, you know, they build wonderful relationships and could do so much good, but they just can't do it anymore. So I love that. And I love the fact that you're talking about working with prep programs, teacher prep programs, and new teachers as well, because that's where it starts. Like, I remember my first year of teaching, like everyone telling me, well, just be prepared to not have a life for the next 2 years, because, you know, you have to learn all the stuff about your classroom and you'll be spending all day and night planning and prepping and all doing all this stuff. And I was like, okay, I guess that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So if we can help new teachers, even before they become teachers, set those boundaries and more realistic expectations, then that can be a game changer as well.
Yep, absolutely. And to just talk about, like, hey, what are some things you do to take care of yourself now? Name those things, whatever they are for you, and keep doing them, because it's going to be, you know, and like, and that, I'm case in point, like, I studied music in college and I play the saxophone, and music to me is an outlet. Music is self-care. Having that creative expression is really important to me. And when I tell you, my first year of teaching, I did not pick up my saxophone once. Not once did I pick up my instrument. It collected dust. And it was like, I had compartmentalized Dana and I compartmentalized Miss Thomas. I was like only living in the Miss Thomas space.
Right.
And you know, I just wish, like, if I could go back to my first year teacher self, like, I would tell her, pick up your saxophone, leave that building. It's gross. There's asbestos in the tiles and lead in the water. What are you doing? go do your thing, take care of yourself, be a person. Because I think I would have been better off. And I just think it's just a shame that we've like normalized, like, oh, your first year is going to be terrible. You're going to cry every day. That's normal. Like, what? Like, and the craziest part is too, is like in teaching, like, what other job does it feel like it gets harder as time goes on too? You know, because like first year is really rough because the first year of doing anything is rough.
Yeah, because you have no idea what you're doing.
You know, like you just, you're on this like learning curve where you're just like, feel like you're failing. You don't know anything. But like it eventually gets better. But what's crazy with teaching is that it's like some of the teachers I've talked to who've been doing this for 10, 20 plus years, they're like, what other job feels like it gets harder, more stuff getting put on as you put more years in, you know? It's like, that's where there's an issue, is that our veteran teachers feel like it's harder than it's ever been, because it honestly is, because we use teachers as the default for everything.
Yeah. We're the default for everything. And we're also the default to blame for everything. So, you know, there's also a piece of it that we have to, you know, be able to disconnect from outsiders' views of whatever teaching is supposed to be or what teachers are, or, you know, we get the summers off.
LOL.
Let's all take a moment and laugh about that. Yeah. So you have to be able to disconnect and, you know, if a politician comes out and says crappy stuff about teachers, which they do all the time because we're wonderful punching bags because we don't punch back, you have to be able to just say, well, you know, it's his right. This is free country. He is available and allowed to be an idiot if he wants to be. So, you know, taking a step back from those outside influences as well and really knowing and having the confidence in yourself can be a big help as well.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's this moment of like, I realized I was putting too much credit, too much faith into what other people had to say and think about my profession. And it's like, you don't even know. Betsy DeVos come to my classroom and trade shoes for a day. Can you hang with 39 kindergartners, Miss DeVos? You know? it's something that I gave a keynote pretty recently, and you know, there's a bunch of like anonymous survey feedback of individuals who attended the keynote, and of course, of all the positive, wonderful things that people say, like I hone in on like the one and two negative. And somebody had reported on the survey that my story about teaching in Baltimore was over dramatized. And I just told it like day in the life. I'm like, well, came to work. I had 39 kids. There was mice feces everywhere. Had to wipe that off. There were roaches in the microwave where I was microwaving my lunch. And then I was, you know, I was just like saying, like, this was the situation that I was in as an educator when Happy Teacher Revolution, the concept of this, was born. And the idea of this like very positive, optimistic, like smiley type of movement to support happiness of teachers was actually started in a place of darkness and desperation, like pure desperation. And so, you know, I think that's something, is like, people are going to talk smack because everyone who's like been in school feels like they know what it's like to be a teacher. It's like, just because you're a student does not know. Like, I just remember grad school, how I felt like it was the most luxurious thing in the whole world to just sit and like consume information instead of like feeling like I was putting on a show. Like I would say to my students, like my kindergartners, like especially when they weren't paying attention or just like they were just, I would be like, it's me, Miss Thomas, coming to you live 180 days a year, like pay attention to me. I'm trying to teach you how to read, you know what I mean? So like I think it's just, you know, don't pay attention to the haters, don't pay attention, they don't know.
Yeah.
You just have to like, you know, you just have to keep on keeping on, because I think I found the support with my other educators. Like I found my community. I realized like I might not have support from my administrators. I might not have support from community or from society or anything like that, you know, but at least we have each other as educators. Like at least we have each other. So I think that's what's really important, is community.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there is such a need for community among teachers that we don't get to have very often, because these days all our meeting time is taken up with, you know, IEPs or, you know, pre-planned meetings, and we don't get to just be in a room and talk about being a teacher anymore. Yep. And, you know, that's something that's definitely missing from schools these days.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And like that's why I see the value in something like Happy Teacher Revolution is this idea that like, let's bring together teachers to develop those relationships amongst each other. First of all, like, let's give the time and space to actually do that, because like you said, like, it's not happening anymore. And second of all, like, let's give a space, a time and space to actually do that. That's not happy hour. It's like, yeah, not at the bar, because there's some shady stuff that goes down potentially if, you know, you give all this alcohol rolling out. And then it's like, you know, like, I think that can isolate a lot of people who like don't want to go and do that. Or if they don't feel comfortable in that space, or, you know, like maybe they have childhood trauma from an alcoholic parent or something like that. Like maybe, you know, like what if we gave like a space for teachers to do that with each other? That was in a way that was like productive, and not only for like self-reflecting, but like getting to know the people that you're working with. And like, you know, there's been times in Happy Teacher Revolution where, and this is from some of our other like communities from around the country, where my revolutionaries will come to me and they'll be like, well, we're having a meeting, and one of the attendees like started sharing about this like traumatic thing that she was currently going through, that her child had gone missing and was reported missing, and like, you know, and how awful that must have been, but like nobody in her working space like had realized that she was going through this or that this was going on. And so then it's like when somebody when is vulnerable and like shares something like that's going on with them as a person, like the next day in the hallway, if their kids aren't in a perfectly straight line, like you might be less inclined to like roll your eyes or be like, oh, she needs to get her stuff together. Like if you sort of know like the backstory of this person and like what they're currently like thinking about or going through. So I just feel like that's what we need in like a workplace, is this idea of like, how can we get along with each other and build relationships with each other? Cause then the kids will pick up on if we're not getting along, like they totally, yeah. And then they'll try and like play against each other, or they are so perceptive. And it's like, how do we teach kids not to bully each other in a building if there's grownups bullying other grownups? Like, we need to get along.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I feel like we can talk about this all day, but I want people to be able to find you and explore what you do. So how can people locate you if they want to, you know, stalk you or whatever?
Oh, yeah, please stalk me. My address is... No, but seriously, our website is happyteacherrevolution.com. That's, yeah, happy TEACHERrevolution, RevolutionR.com. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Happy Teacher Revolution, and Facebook's at Happy Teacher Revolution. Twitter is too many characters, so we're at Happy Teacher HTR. So yeah, reach out, connect, DM me. I would love to connect with any and everybody on the podcast. If you're interested in learning how to join Happy Teacher Revolution, please reach out. We're enrolling for our online cohort. Or if you think you're a school or community or district, would like a professional development session, we are always enrolling for that too. So I'm just really excited to be able to share more of my journey and to chat with you. And this has been really, really fun. So I'm really grateful to be able to connect with you today.
Yeah, I was so glad that we could make this happen for season two. So thank you so awesome. Much, Dana, for being on the show. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I know that you're busy and your time is precious, so I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me. If you like what you're hearing, you can support Side Hustle Teachers in three ways. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Reviews help Apple know we're here and we're helpful so more people can find us. You can share the show with friends and family. Did you know that podcast listenership is growing every single year? And a lot of that is because of recommendations from people just like you. And lastly, join our community. You can find Side Hustle Teachers on all the major social platforms, and we have a very active, engaged Facebook group. Join us. All the cool kids are doing it. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and until next time, take care.